Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their expertise, and their insights with us into our industry. My name is Gary Lafter, your host and CEO of Growth Focus Partnerships, where we take tech leaders, we take their message and turn it into pipeline using the leverage power of webinars, presentations, and workshops. Well, let's jump straight into this particular episode. I've been waiting this for a good couple of weeks now, so I'm really excited to get going. So without further ado, KD, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on to our show today. Why don't you start off by just introducing yourself, telling us who you are and what is it that you actually do?
Thank you, Gary, for having me, and thank you to all your viewers. My name is KD Singhaneja. I am situated 20 minutes north of Boston. I've been here in Massachusetts forever, as long as I can remember. And currently, I manage my own design studio and a UX consulting company that I started in 2021 during COVID. But that's something I do in between full-time roles sometimes. But this is the longest I've gone without a full-time role and focus more on the company itself.
Well, I can't wait to dive a little bit more into what is it you do and how you've grown, because you've got a tremendous story about growth over the last few years. But let's dial it back a little bit. Let's dial it down and let's find out a little bit more about you, Katie. What problem did you see way back when, like you said, in 2020, 2021 during COVID? What problem did you see in the tech world that sparked the creation of Neza Solutions? And when did you realize you were actually onto something?
Yeah, it stems from my background. So I've been in the industry for 20 plus years. 16, I would say, solidly more on the product development, product engineering side. A lot of it in SaaS healthcare, very complicated products, and mostly centered around user experience and how users want to see the product, how users want to consume the product, right? Both product and services. So I've always had these UX-related roles. I started off as a UI developer way back in the day and then took into roles like software architect, UI-focused, then director of user experience, senior director of user experience, always focused on either revamping the UX of a currently established product, but that was going stale in terms of look and feel, in terms of bad workflows and not being modern, to just reimagining and conceiving new products altogether, especially at the advent of AI. Around 2020, 2021, a couple of my friends I worked with, they started a startup, and this wasn't really on my radar, but they said, can you help us with setting up a vision for AI as a platform company? And I said, okay, I'll help you. And then I did quick design strategy for them, based on which they raised $5 million. And it's like, okay, we might be onto something here, because I was able to communicate with them really nicely and understand their needs, translate that to a vision very, very quickly. I realized maybe this is a persona I can go after as a concerted design studio or a consulting firm. So my initial clients were startups with shoestring budgets, right? Who have some money, don't have the expertise of proper UX. Yeah, UI engineers you can find, right? But the polish and the modern look and feel of the product that needs to be there, both desktop and mobile, is just not there. So started helping with those folks. And then most of the business that I've had is word of mouth. It's because of the work that I've delivered with my small team. So around five or six customers in, clients in, we expanded into middle-sized companies and larger companies, right? The projects will be small, but very, very impactful. Or mid-sized companies where a project will be large, band mile long as well. But still word of mouth, which is something I'm really grateful for, right? That shows that something that we might have done in the past really resonated with a lot of folks. And so very quickly, within a span of 2 years, we almost 10x'd their revenue. And I don't like to speak in terms of dollar value, because it's just who I am. Our revenue goes up and down.
But even so, 10xing in the space of 2 years from a relatively shallow start as well, you know, it's something to behold. It really is. I mean, there'll be listeners and followers here and viewers thinking, wow, you know, and that's just from word of mouth to where you got to today. So that, you know, that congratulations on that. But
thank you.
Let's talk about, let's talk about obviously growing the business. Obviously, you can be the best at what you do. Your team can be great at what you do. This podcast is built predominantly about growing tech businesses or growing businesses within the tech industry and the challenges of it. to grow 10x within a couple of years and within a few years, it can't just be all word of mouth, can it, Katie? What other strategies were you using to grow your business to that level?
Yeah. So for me, it was still, like I said, I'm very lucky and grateful that it was word of mouth, as in the reputation out there, right? You build a reputation with the people you have worked in the past 10, 15 years, who are your allies, who are your champions, who I call are your board of directors out there, right? Who look after you, right? So it's always checking in with them. That's always, your network is always the first go-to, checking in with them. Hey, I'm looking for new clients. I have a pipeline. I have a small business. I'm happy to help in this. Let me know if you know anyone, right? And always that has bear fruit for me, right? So now, at least in the last 1 year or so, what I also tried to do was lead generation. I'm not a big fan of that, but it helps, really. If you really target your persona and you know who you're going after, it helps. And then there was some market downturn as well, and especially around 2021, 22, where the startup market really slowed down, where my key personas, go-to customers. So that's why I started expanding to other customers. And for that, I got the lead gen support, right? That got me a couple of customers. So you got to have a balance of those strategies, right? I know some founders who build a product and then they go heavily into marketing using lead gen and then say, cast a wide net and maybe you'll catch five or six fish. Great strategy, right? But for me, it was different. And the thing is, when you do land a client this way or that way, you close. You close when that critical sales meeting happens, when that call is booked, you really get together with the client and understand what they're looking for. Not just show them a menu card of what you can do, but you understand what they want to get done. And you are flexible in terms of what you can deliver for them, in what time frame you can deliver, in what pricing also, what you can deliver.
So that's a very interesting, Katie, because I know within this industry, obviously having been in this industry for many, many years, and you know, and know thousands of people within the industry, particularly closing is not necessarily a comfortable thing for a majority of people in tech. You know, they can talk about it, you know, and I was talking to somebody yesterday about, you know, how do we move from Q&A to CTA? How do we get somebody to actually say, right, don't need to ask me more questions. We need some form of action. We need what the next step is. What has been your insight into being comfortable with, to coin your phrase, closing the prospect into a client?
Researching into the client. If you have enough intelligence of what they might be going through, what they might be needing, especially if you have a decision maker, go through their LinkedIn post and maybe see the post they've made. You'll get some instincts, some intelligence of what they might be looking after, right? Asking the right questions. I have 10, 15 set of questions that I've really refined over a period of few years that always gets me the right intelligence, right? Which are, to which the reactions are, oh, good question, right? And you hit upon that, which is CTA. You have to end those meetings with a call to action. Can I circle back with you? Not just like to do what? Like to do A, B, and C, right? A lot of founders don't do that. I didn't have great sales skills, but over the period of time, I've had good mentors, both by observing and working with them, right? For some sales folks, I worked with them to put the product story into their decks. And I would ask them, why do you want to do it? Why do you want to spin it that way? And then that gave me some expansive thinking of, okay, this is what you want to do, right? And you also have your deck prepared about your services, about what you offer. And you have to be very, very cogent, and at the same time, a good storyteller about that. But before you do that, you find out exactly where the customer is and at a range of, are they exploring a problem they don't know, or they really know what the problem is, but they are not able to articulate, or they know the problem and they really know what they want, right? I want a mobile app for kids with Singapore math. Great, right? Now we just need to work on design and content. So
I'm glad you said that, Katie, because this is something which we've been talking about quite a lot on this show and obviously with my clients as well, is the stages. There's problem aware. They've got to be problem aware first. If they're not problem aware, they're not going to sort out for a solution. Once they become problem aware, if they are problem aware, then they become solution aware because they need to find out what the solution to that problem is. And only then do they go to solution provider aware, yes, because they're not going to look for the solution provider until they've actually got the solution. So I'm glad you mentioned the fact that, yeah, you've got to have these inquiring minds, inquiring questions. And so many times I see people in our field they lead with product or they lead with service, and they're not leading with the questions. Exactly. What is your insights on that?
You're absolutely spot on. You first of all need to know your persona, and when you have the right decision maker on the call, whether it's, in my case, it's VP of UX or senior VP of UX or chief design officer who wants fractional support to the design team. I can cite an example. I got in touch with this chief design officer who said, okay, well, we want some design help. That was a vague kind of thing. Okay, can you tell me more before we have a meeting? And the person being busy just didn't get back to me. But then when we had the meeting, I just started with my questioning, and just turned out it wasn't the design help they needed. They needed design team org help. Like, I have my design team has grown really fast. I see you have been a design director who has built small teams. How have you done it? Okay, now the conversation's completely changed from product design to team org design. It's like, okay, then I have to put on a different hat, come up with a different line of questioning, right? So you have to be very, very nimble and listening, empathetic to your persona. And keep in mind, the persona is just not some stencil or somebody you pigeonholed into like a frame that, okay, this person would exactly want this. No, just listen. Ask the right questions and listen. Then that's an art, and that's something that experience teaches you. You will make mistakes. I made mistakes. But the more consistent you get in having these sales calls, the better you will get.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's shift the focus a little bit, Katie. I think that's very, very insightful. What we've found is that obviously every great tech founder, every founder within this space usually has one core philosophy that's helped them grow. You've had tremendous growth in a very short span of time. What would you say is your core philosophy, and how does it shape how you build your business?
My core philosophy is nurture the business, nurture it the right way, but be mindful of what's going on in the market and be ready to pivot. That's part of nurturing, right? And so there's a series of things I've done, which may come across as tips, if you want me to get into those tips for founders, especially who are doing product studios as their consulting companies, right? They might have a product of their own, but they're actually bringing other people's vision to life, right? In the end of the day, you're running a company, you're running a small LLC or S Corp or whatever it is, but there are a few things that I've stuck to consistently that has enabled the kind of growth as well as kept the business healthy, you know, if you may. So that's what I call it. Watch your business. That's the core competency.
Yeah, I think this is the key thing, isn't it? It's absolutely, as I said, you know, you've got to be working, as Drucker said before, Peter Drucker many years ago, got to be working into your business, not just on, you know, you've got to be working on your business, just not in your business. You know, there's so many tech people find themselves inside the nuts and bolts of this industry and tend to forget, like you said, ultimately you're running a business first. The business is the vehicle. You've got to drive that vehicle. Can you tell us, share with us a quick picture of your favorite client transformation or a client success story?
Yeah, it's the one I'm helping right now. They're called Bigoo Consulting, and they provide sales and commercialization workflows and a commercialization data platform for biopharma companies, right? Especially targeting, their personas are the sales teams and their field operations team that go and sell this drug. And they have things like market alignment, incentive compensation, targeting, HCP alignment, right? Very, very core, but very niche area within biopharma companies. And within those, there are varieties, right? So understanding the business took a while, and I've been with this client for a while, and they have done really, really well. So part was, they had some applications, revamping those applications, right, into a newer look and feel, new platform, a modern approach. Also reimagining some of the UX. They were also undergoing brand changes with the website and their messaging, having a little bit of leadership change. You know, you got to go in tandem with that. And then new product management came on board, and they want to approach everything in a modular approach with, like, every 3 months or few months, we need to release a new module. How is that going to roll back into the work you've already done? So it does not, that's what the thing that the design studios that do today, they look at things very myopically. Here's a landing page. Here's a website. Here's a quick scheduler app I made. No, you got to think in terms of a UX strategy, especially when you're helping a client longer term. That's why my core offering is UX strategy. Everything comes under that umbrella. So there's just revamping the core applications in this customer's platform has generated about, the latest number is like 6x more engagement with their clients in terms of both interest and in terms of sales pipeline for them. Like, okay, we want to try your platform now instead of the competitors who I don't want to take the name of.
Yeah, yeah.
And then here's our data. How will that show in your platform? What tools you have? And then sometimes I'm also brought into those meetings, even as a consultant. Okay, yeah, you have some feedback. We roll that back into the product. So I'm also acting as a product consultant with them rather than just a design consultant. And there are many other wins, especially internally as well, as they have used AI and generative AI that has really improved their internal processes for data management. That has saved them about, on average, 3 to 4 days of time. Just approaching that from a design strategy plus the data side.
That's fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about your business. We talked about, obviously, I think your clients' businesses. We've talked about working on your business. Could you share a decision you've made, let's say, in the last 12 months that has generally moved the needle for your business?
It's not one. I mean, very seldom you get a Hail Mary that just jettisons your that Twitter post that got you 1 million impressions and that starts getting you business. No, for me, it's been a string of things. That's why I say it's nurturing the business, and you have to look at the business at various angles, right? So you mind if I elaborate on those, right?
No, go ahead.
Right. So piggybacking on top of the growth that your reputation brings you, especially when you have critical mass, right? You also have to keep the cost in check, right? For the longest time, I tried not having full-time folks on there because I didn't know when the business was going to balloon and shrink, right? So I had fractional staff with me, just the way I am fractional to different companies. Right. So that helps you keep the cost in check. And so you have to forecast when you're going to need help, how much of help you're going to need. Is it the next week you're going to need help with logo design? Are you going to help for the week after that? You're going to need help with revamping an application with 10 screens. So that gives you an idea. So that gives you a handle on the spend runway. So let me talk about the business management part, then the growth part I can talk about, right? At one point, I also had in terms of pricing and offering approach, I had like three approaches, like fixed price. And then I had hourly. And then I had month to month. And in 2023, I just completely, late end of 23, I said, no, it's just one month to month, like a subscription model. What month to month you'll pay will depend on what you want from us, right? I'm not going to charge you $3,000 a week, a month, if you just want a little bit of branding help from us. No, that's just skimming. We don't do that. Right.
So yeah, well, the month to month model has been proven over the last few years to be a tremendous business booster because it keeps people on toe, but it also keeps us honest and humble because we've got to keep making sure that we're providing, right?
Yeah. It's close and it's closer to the MRR. If you're doing hourly, if you're doing fixed price, it's very hard to get the MRR whole angle. So, yeah, you can cancel 30 days notice, right? Minimum 3 months. You need to be with us. The clients usually work with you on that, right? Because they also don't want to engage with a matured and seasoned agency just for, small potatoes. So simplify the pricing, right? Now, let me go towards a couple of things I did for the business, which is, like I said, to grow into different personas, I had to do something different. So lead gen was it. Yeah, we spoke to different with different business leaders, the decision makers. But I also went to a few Chamber of Commerce meetings. I became member. Simple member, charter member, sometimes not even membership, just attend their Chamber of Commerce. And that's where you meet the real entrepreneurs. I went to a small business expo where I gave away thick stack of cards, right? And hey, this is what I do, everything from website to branding to complete overhaul of your product. And that got me some leads, right? A word of advice to the entrepreneurs. Yeah, when you get into marketing, it's just not getting your product out there on Product Hunt or anything like that. It's just I have to go where the entrepreneurs meet. The Chambers of Commerce, every state has it. Even town chapters are there. Go and show your face and shake hands and, talk about your business and listen how they are growing their business. How is a local plumber or how is a local tree cutting service growing their business, right? You will get a lot of tips.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing about growth. And this is the key thing about, meeting people where they're at. Perhaps you'd find some great clients at the Chambers, and that's all great advice. But obviously, we're all human. Could you share with us a story where things didn't go to plan in your business and you had to pivot really quickly?
This was very, very early when I was starting to target the larger clients because it was very difficult to, just through lead gen, targeting the decision makers. you know, I would get to talk to people who would say, yeah, I'm an influencer, but not a decision maker. So I felt like I'm wasting a lot of time, right? So within just finding the personas using LinkedIn Sales Navigator or whatever other tools, we had to find the different persona. So I had to engage with another company that charged me like, what, $5,000 for 1 month or 2 months. And they had their own AI tool, their own AI data to hone in exactly the persona I wanted. That got me a few conversations, right? With the right people. Like, yeah, I control the budget. I control the P&L. I'm not that technical. I know what my team wants. Let me put you in touch with the people who would work with you directly, right? That was great. So that pivot took me longer than I would have liked.
Do you know, I'm glad you've said that, Katie, because one of the key aspects we've been talking about an awful lot with my clients and my guests is that you don't necessarily always have to talk. Well, one of the biggest mistakes is always talking to your end user. You've also got to talk to the check signer. You've got to talk to their bank, because they're the ones ultimately that are going to sign that check. They're the ones that are going to sign it off. And if you don't have a relationship with them, it doesn't matter how well the end user uses it and say you're great. Yeah. They're not going to be able to, and they can't sell it for you as good as you can. So I'm glad you brought that up. Well, as we come to the end of our interview, I have one more question for you. Katie, what are you excited about building, improving, or disrupting in the industry over the course of the next 12 to 18 months? And why should the industry pay attention to you?
Great question. Great question. That's where you're seeing this really a big change happening in the industry, where previously UX agencies will go understand, listen, what do you want, and then take their sweet time building. And then after a bit of a period and discussions, give you a proper design strategy. Hey, this is what you wanted. Oh, looks great. Fine, done. No, the speed has to be 10x now. 10x, right? Because of AI-based design tools, AI-based vibe coding tools, AI-based research tools, everything. Step of the process of design studio, design agency, or even basic consulting has to be X speed now, right? Are you using the right tools? Are you really leveraging the output of those tools properly in your process, right? Right now, where I really kill it with my clients is they give me vague product requirements documents or my team high-level requirements, and we do our own research very, very quickly, not with 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and we quickly produce designs, low fidelity maybe, but designs that helps us converge, so the design thinking, converge into a different conversation where we have moved on from very vague ideas to three or four ideas that customers really like, right? And then you go deeper and deeper and deeper before you go into the high fidelity or final design, final look and feel. In some cases, because I've had data with me and I've been technical in the past, we have vibe coded a prototype, which both acted like a design articulating collateral to find out that this is what we want to build. At the same time, it gave them sales collateral while this conversation was going on. So they were able to finalize two clients. Like, this is what we are building, plus or minus two features, right? So you really have to be very, very nimble now. Hiring 10 designers to do design fashion is not going to work. That's not the game now. The game is, are you working smarter with the capabilities that are out there, especially rendered through AI, right? That's what I'm more excited about, anxious about, at the same time, mindful about using on a daily basis.
Well, that's a fantastic place to end this great interview with. Katie, thank you very much for your time and your insights today. I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting to you. And thank you very much for coming on to our show today.
Likewise. Really appreciated it. And thank you to your viewers again.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. And as per usual, if Katie has mentioned anything that's rattled the tree a little bit, and maybe you think that's really interesting, make sure you like it, make sure you comment on it so that people can see what you're picking up from there. But more importantly, as always, please share this episode. Share this episode and other episodes of other leaders so that we can all grow together. So until next time, keep profitable, and we'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye.